Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. We are going to start off tonight with some NFL football news. The Arizona Cardinals were off this past weekend, but we'll go through the NFL roundup, this entitled Nobody's Perfect. The Kansas City Chiefs saw their undefeated record go up in smoke on Sunday and leave it to the Buffalo Bills, of all teams, to settle the issue behind their remarkable quarterback. Josh Allen bolted from the pocket on a fourth down play with just over 2 minutes on the clock, and it didn't stop until he delivered a finishing blow with a 26-yard touchdown run that essentially sealed the 30-21 verdict in a thriller at Highmark Stadium. The outcome ended Kansas City's 15-game winning streak and provided the Bills, who are 9-2, with a measure of revenge against the arch-rival that ended three of their past four seasons with playoff losses. Josh Allen's 26-yard touchdown run on 4th-and-2, with just more than 2 minutes left, sealed the Buffalo Bills' 30-21 win Sunday and dealt the visiting Kansas City Chiefs their first loss of the season. Facing the choice of attempting a short field goal or handing the defending Super Bowl champions and quarterback Patrick Mahomes the ball and time to drive for a win, Bills coach Sean McDermott turned the game over to Allen, who first looked to pass, then diced through a Chiefs defense that is among the league's best against the run. The Bills improved to 9-2. The Chiefs fell to 9-1. Allen completed 27 of 40 passes for 262 yards and led the Bills with 55 rush yards. Next, we have Packers 20, Bears 19. Jordan Love passed and ran for a touchdown. Carl Brooks blocked a field goal as time expired, and the visiting Green Bay Packers edged the skidding Chicago Bears 20-19. Love scored the go-ahead TD on a one-yard run with 2:59 to go. Rookie counterpart Caleb Williams drove the Bears downfield on the next possession, positioning them for a would-be game-winning 46-yard field goal. But Brooks blocked Caro Santos' kick to help Green Bay, who is 7-3, preserve the victory. Love went 13 for 17 for 261 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Lions 52, Jaguars 6. Jared Goff passed for a season-high 412 yards and 4 touchdowns, and the Detroit Lions stretched their winning streak to 8 games by pounding the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars 52-6. The winning streak is the longest for the Lions, who are 9-1 in the Super Bowl era. Goff bounced back from a 5-interception outing against Houston as the Lions scored touchdowns on their first 7 possessions. Amon-Ra St. Brown caught 11 passes for 161 yards and scored 2 touchdowns, his 8th consecutive game with a touchdown. Jameson Williams caught 4 passes for 124 yards, including a 64-yard touchdown. Next, Dolphins 34, Raiders 19. Jonnu Smith caught 6 passes for a career-high 101 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Tua Tagovailoa threw 3 touchdown passes to lead the host Miami Dolphins to a 34-19 win over the Las Vegas Raiders in Miami Gardens, Florida. The Dolphins, at 4-6, won back-to-back games for the first time this season as they continue to try to bolster their playoff chances, while the Raiders, who are 2-8, dropped their 6th in a row. Tua Tagovailoa tossed a 57-yard touchdown to wide-open Smith over the middle with 3:19 remaining in the fourth quarter to go up 31-19. Miami then sealed the outcome on the first play of the Raiders' ensuing series when Jalen Ramsey intercepted Gardner Minshew. Now Rams 28, Patriots 22. Matthew Stafford threw for 295 yards and 4 touchdowns as the Rams held off the Patriots for a 28-22 win in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Los Angeles, who is 5-5, carried a 28-13 lead into the fourth quarter, but the Patriots rattled off 9 unanswered points thanks to Drake May's 4-yard touchdown pass to left tackle Vidarian Love and Joey Sly's 42-yard field goal. Sly had his extra point blocked following Lowe's catch in the end zone. New England, at 3-8, ended up getting the ball back with 2:14 left in the game, but May was picked off by Cameron Kitchens with 1:55 remaining to kill the comeback bid. Now Saints 35, Browns 14. Taysom Hill rushed for 138 yards and 3 touchdowns. Derek Carr threw 2 touchdown passes, and the host New Orleans Saints defeated the Cleveland Browns 35-14. Carr passed for 248 yards, and Hill added a career-high 8 receptions for 50 yards as the Saints, at 4-7, improved to 2-0 under interim head coach Darren Rizzi. Former Saints quarterback Jameis Winston passed for 395 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of which went to Jerry Jeudy, who finished with 142 yards on 6 catches for the Browns, who are 2-8. On the Browns' first possession of the second half, they drove 92 yards, and Winston threw a 30-yard touchdown pass to Elijah Moore and a 2-point conversion pass to David Njoku to tie the score at 14. Now Steelers 18, Ravens 16. Chris Boswell kicked 6 field goals in a game for the 3rd time in his career, and the Pittsburgh Steelers remained in first place in the AFC North with an 18-16 victory over the visiting Baltimore Ravens. Russell Wilson completed 23 of 36 passes for 205 yards and 1 interception for the Steelers, who are 8-2, who won their 5th straight game. Peyton Wilson made a key interception as Pittsburgh increased its division lead to 1.5 games over the Ravens, who are 7-4. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson was just 16 of 33 passing for 207 yards, 1 touchdown and an interception, while dropping to 1-4 all-time as a starter against the Steelers. Next, we have the Vikings 23, Titans 13. Sam Darnold completed 20 of 32 passes for 246 yards and 2 touchdowns and rushed for another score, and the Minnesota Vikings posted a 23-13 win over the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. Jordan Addison and Cam Akers had 1 touchdown catch apiece for Minnesota, who is 8-2, which won its 3rd game in a row and remained 1 game behind Detroit, 9-1, in the NFC North. Will Levis completed 17 of 31 passes for 295 yards, 1 touchdown and 1 interception for Tennessee, who is 2-8, which has lost 5 of its last 6. Nick Westbrook, Ikeane, had a 98-yard touchdown catch. The Vikings had 24 first downs compared with 11 for the Titans. Now Colts 28, Jets 27. Anthony Richardson threw for 272 yards and accounted for 3 touchdowns, including the game-winning 4-yard touchdown run with 46 seconds left, as the visiting Indianapolis Colts rallied for a 28-27 win over the New York Jets. Richardson led a 70-yard drive after Andres Carlson hit a 35-yard field goal with 2:41 remaining that gave New York a 27-22 edge. Richardson took a direct snap on 3rd and goal and ran around the left end, using good blocking to easily make the end zone. Richardson completed 20 of 30 passes with a score in his return to the starting lineup after being benched for 2 weeks in favor of Joe Flacco. The Colts, at 5-6, finished with 332 total yards and controlled the ball for more than 34 minutes. Aaron Rodgers hit 22 of 29 passes for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Jets, finding Kenny Yeboah with an 11-yard strike less than 2 minutes into the 4th quarter for a 24-16 advantage. And finally, Broncos 38, Falcons 6. Rookie quarterback Bo Nix completed 28 of 33 passes for a career high of 307 yards and 4 touchdowns, as the Denver Broncos dominated the visiting Atlanta Falcons on Sunday 38-6. Javonte Williams ran for 59 yards and a score, while Courtland Sutton caught 7 passes for 78 yards for Denver, who is 6-5, which snapped a two-game losing streak. Devon Vale had four catches for 66 yards, while Little Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, and Nate Adkins each hauled in a touchdown pass. Atlanta, at 6-5, was held without a touchdown for the first time this year and lost its second straight game. Kirk Cousins completed 18 of 27 passes for 173 yards and was intercepted once. Then in Monday Night Football, Texans never trail while handing the Cowboys their fifth straight loss. This from the Associated Press. Derek Barnett forced the first fumble and returned the second for a touchdown on the definitive defensive play of the game for the Houston Texans. Joe Mixon did his thing, and C.J. Stroud didn't have to do much to extend the misery of the Dallas Cowboys. Mixon ran for three touchdowns to extend his TD streak to six games since coming back from an ankle injury. Barnett returned a fumble 28 yards for a score, and the Texans beat the Cowboys 34-10 on Monday night. The Texans, at 7-4, stopped just the second two-game losing streak in quarterback C.J. Stroud's two seasons while maintaining a two-game lead in the AFC South. In a season filled with things gone wrong for the Cowboys, who were 3-7, debris fell from their stadium's retractable roof as it was opening a few hours before the game. There was no delay and no injuries were reported, just another mishap to foreshadow a fifth consecutive defeat for a team that lost five games total in each of the past three playoff seasons. Cooper Rush threw a 64-yard touchdown pass to Kevontae Turpin, but lost his second start since Dak Prescott's season-ending hamstring injury. The Dallas losing streak is its longest since a seven-game skid in 2015, and the Cowboys dropped to 0-5 at home. Dallas is the first team in the NFL history to trail by at least 20 points in six consecutive games, including last season's wildcard playoff loss to Green Bay, according to Sport Radar. Now over to college football, starting with the University of Arizona. Wildcats collect 27-3 win over Houston. This was from Friday night in Tucson. Arizona went into victory formation for the first time in 48 days, and running back Quali Conley celebrated with a backflip, ending a losing streak deserved to evoke that kind of joy from the Wildcats. Noah Fifita threw for two touchdowns. Conley scored twice, and Arizona ended a five-game losing streak with a 27-3 win over Houston on Friday night. Fifita hit Tedaroa McMillan on a touchdown pass in the first quarter and found Conley for another score to open the third. Conley added a 50-yard touchdown run, and the Wildcats, at 4-6, 2-5 in the Big 12, shut down the Cougars most of the night to bounce back from a blowout loss to UCF 2 weeks ago. "We're fired up," Arizona coach Brent Brennan said. "It feels good. The locker room is super electric. We were super focused on just getting one. We had to win one, and now we get to celebrate." Houston, who was 4-6, 3-4 in the Big 12, couldn't sustain the momentum from consecutive wins over Utah and number 20 Kansas State. The Cougars moved the ball fairly well in the first half, but lost two fumbles, threw an interception, and turned it over on downs four times. "We didn't do a great job of being smart and being plus in the turnover margin," Houston coach Willie Fritz said. "We had some foolish penalties, guys trying to do too much and not doing their job." Jamarion Burnett lost a fumble on Houston's opening drive. Zion Chris threw an interception, and the Cougars turned it over on downs twice in Arizona's end in the first half. One on fourth and goal from the two. Houston's only points came on Jack Martin's 49-yard field goal. Arizona was only slightly better. The Wildcats went three and out four times in the first half, and it didn't get a field goal off when holder Michael Segado Medina bobbled the snap. Arizona had the half's lone touchdown on a free play when Houston jumped off sides. Fifita threw the ball up for grabs in the end zone, and McMillan outleaped the defensive back for a 33-yard touchdown. Tyler Loop kicked a school-record 62-yard field goal on the final play to give Arizona a 10-3 lead at the half. Arizona ran away with it in the second half. The Wildcats moved quickly down the field on their opening drive of the third quarter, going up 17-3 on Conley's 13-yard touchdown catch. Houston opened the second half with another miscue. The Cougars tried a fake punt, but the pass was incomplete, setting up Arizona for a 51-yard field goal by Loop. Conley put the game out of reach with his 50-yard TD run up the middle that made it 27-3. All week in practice, we talked about finishing, Conley said. Dennis Smith had quite a night. Arizona's safety had an interception, recovered the fumble, broke up a pass, and finished with 7 tackles, including 1.5 for loss. We all just continued to see Genesis grow and develop as a player, Brennan said. He continues to find the football. He continues to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, and he's absolutely a guy we count on. Arizona played the way it needed to in ending a long losing streak. Fafita threw for 224 yards on 20 of 35 passing, and the defense had far better tackling than the previous 5 games. Houston couldn't take advantage of his early offensive successes and let the game get away by being outscored 17-0 in the third quarter. U of A's next game will be this coming Saturday, November 23rd at 1 p.m. at TCU. And over at the ASU Sun Devils, Sun Devil football gets career game from Tyson in road upset of number 16 Kansas State. ASU scored the game's first 24 points to reach 8-2 for the first time since 2013. This was in Manhattan, Kansas. Sam Leavitt threw for 275 yards and 3 touchdowns to lead Arizona State, who was 8-2, 5-2 in the Big 12, to a 24-14 win over number 20 Kansas State, who was 7-3, 4-3 in the Big 12, on Saturday night at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. All 3 of Leavitt's touchdown passes came in the first half, as the Sun Devils built a 24-0 lead. Jordan Tyson hauled in 2 of those scores while setting career highs with 12 catches and 176 receiving yards. ASU got the first big play when Shamari Simmons tipped the ball to Xavion Alford on the second play to force ASU's 10th interception of the season. ASU went 49 yards in 6 plays as Leavitt found Tyson in the deep corner for an 11-yard touchdown and a 7-0 lead. The Sun Devils extended the lead to 14-0 after going 67 yards on 11 plays, kept by a 30-yard laser to Tyson from Leavitt early in the second quarter. After Simmons forced a Kansas State fumble on the ensuing possession, Jamin Medier took a screen pass 16 yards for a 21-0 Sun Devil lead. K-State was in position to score late in the half before a bobbled snap on a field goal attempt resulted in no points on a 60-yard drive that took over 7 minutes and allowed ASU to take that 21-0 lead into the half. Coming out of the half, ASU went 7 plays and 46 yards, taking 4 minutes off the clock, as Parker Lewis hit a 47-yard field goal to give ASU a 24-0 lead. Kansas State got on the board late in the third quarter when Avery Johnson rushed 10 yards to cap a 6-play, 78-yard drive. The Wildcats' attempt for 2 was denied, and the ASU lead sat at 24-6. The next ASU drive ended in a punt, but not before they took another 5-plus minutes off the clock. However, K-State went 90 yards in 4 plays, and Joe Jackson scored on a 4-yard rush with a successful 2-point conversion, had the Sun Devil lead at 24-14 with 11:26 remaining. ASU followed by taking nearly 6 minutes off the clock and flipping the field when a Canyon Floyd punt that ended inside the Wildcats' 10-yard line, the Sun Devil defense forced K-State into another missed field goal. After another ASU punt, Simmons intercepted Johnson in the end zone to clinch the victory for the Sun Devils. The Sun Devils added 123 yards on the ground, with Cam Skidabo posting 73 yards and Leavitt adding 42. ASU controlled the ball for over 36 minutes and converted 9 of 15 on third down, including all 4 chances with 4 or fewer yards to go. ASU will be at home at Mountain America Stadium for the final time this season on November 23rd when they host number 6 BYU at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And now I will run down the newly released AP Top 25 with their movement in the Top 25 and their scores from this past weekend. Number 1, Oregon remains at number 1. They defeated Wisconsin at Wisconsin 16-13. Number 2, Ohio State remains at the number 2 spot. They defeated Northwestern at Northwestern 31-7. Number 3, Texas defeated Arkansas at Arkansas 20-10. They remain at number 3. Penn State remains at number 4. They defeated Purdue at Purdue 49-10. Number 5, Indiana remains at the number 5 spot. They were idle this past weekend. Notre Dame moved up 2 spots to number 6. They defeated Virginia at home 35-14. Number 7, Alabama moved up 2 spots. They defeated Mercer 52-7 at home. Georgia moved up 3 spots to number 8. They defeated Tennessee at home 31-17. Number 9, Ole Miss moved up a spot. They were idle this past weekend. Number 10, Tennessee moved down 4 spots. They lost to Georgia at Georgia 17-31. Number 11, Miami moved up a spot. They were idle this past weekend. Boise State moved up a spot to number 12. They defeated San Jose State 42-21 at San Jose State. SMU moved up a spot to number 13. They defeated Boston College at home 38-28. BYU dropped 7 spots to number 14. They lost to Kansas at home 13-17. Texas A&M remains at number 15. They defeated New Mexico State at home 38-3. Colorado moved up 2 spots to number 16. They defeated Utah at home 49-24. Clemson remains at number 17. They defeated Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh 24-20. Army dropped 2 spots to number 18. They were idle this weekend. South Carolina moved up 4 spots to number 19. They defeated Missouri 34-20 at home. Tulane moved up 5 spots to number 20. They defeated Navy at Navy 35-0. Number 21, Arizona State defeated at Kansas State 24-14. They remain at 21. Iowa State remains at 22. They defeated Cincinnati at home 34-17. UNLV remains at 23. They defeated San Diego State at home 41-20. Illinois remains at 24, which they defeated Michigan State at home 38-16. And Washington State dropped 6 spots to the number 25 position. They lost at New Mexico 35-38. And now over to some NBA basketball with the Phoenix Suns. Minnesota 120, Phoenix 117. Suns fall to T-Wolves despite Booker's 44. This game from Sunday in Minneapolis. Devin Booker did everything he could and then some Sunday afternoon. The Phoenix Suns played their best game without injured Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, but Julius Randle delivered the biggest shot of the night for his new team. Randle's three at the buzzer gave the Minnesota Timberwolves a 120-117 stunner over the Suns that sent the sellout crowd of 18,978 at Target Center into an uninhibited celebration. The T-Wolves traded All-Star center Karl Anthony Towns for Dante DiVincenzo and Randle during the offseason. The Suns were in position to win mainly on the strength of a season-high 44 points from Booker, who had gone scoreless in the first half of Friday's 99-83 loss at Oklahoma City. Randle led the T-Wolves, who were 8-6, with 35 points, while Anthony Edwards added 24. The Suns, at 9-5, had 3 looks on their final possession, with Booker getting 2 with the game tied before yielding the ball on a shot clock violation with 2.7 seconds left. Minnesota took a timeout to advance the ball to half court. With Joe Ingles inbounding, it appeared the play was for Edwards, but the Suns switched everything and kept a man on him. Randle ended up receiving the pass. With Josh Okogie guarding him, Randle pulled up and shot from the top, while Okogie fell back in what could be called an exaggerated fashion to draw a foul. No whistle, bucket good, play reviewed. Officials confirmed the shot was released before the final buzzer. The Suns have lost their past three games and are 1-4 in their past five without Durant. This was their first matchup against Minnesota since Game 4 of the 2024 playoffs, when Minnesota won in Phoenix to complete the first-round sweep. Here are three takeaways from Sunday's heartbreaker to end a four-game road trip. The Suns face the Orlando Magic in the second of a back-to-back Monday at Footprint Center. Beal was also out in Monday's game with a left calf strain. He'll be evaluated when the Suns return to Phoenix. Durant is scheduled for re-evaluation later this week based on a two-week timetable the Suns provided November 9. Durant suffered his injury in Phoenix's 114-113 escape November 8th at Dallas. Grayson Allen returned after missing two games with right hamstring soreness to score 18 points off the bench, hitting 4 of 7 from 3. His last bucket, a corner 3 off Booker's 7th assist, gave Phoenix a 117-115 lead with 56 seconds left. The Suns led by as many as 16 points in the first half and held a 7-point lead with 3:40 left after Tyus Jones continued to dissect Minnesota's defense in the fourth. Jones finished with 13 points, 6 coming in the fourth, and 11 assists to 1 turnover. Phoenix was unable to maintain the lead as Allen and Mason Plumlee were called for offensive fouls to help fuel Minnesota's comeback that included a huge Edwards 3 that cut the T-Wolves' deficit to 3 with 2:11 left. The Suns were kicking themselves for giving Minnesota a chance to win it at the end, but Mike Budenholzer not only questioned the final play, but how the game was called all night, particularly the screens that led to offensive fouls. Now, Booker cooked T-Wolves' defense in a losing effort. Budenholzer saw how OKC constantly doubled Booker to take the ball out of his hands. Had the Suns capitalized on the defensive strategy and made shots, they would have stood a better chance of winning. Phoenix instead shot 9 of 37 from 3 in its 99-83 loss. The 83 points at Oklahoma City is a season low for the Suns. Booker committed 4 turnovers in that loss and finished with a minus 29, the lowest of anyone who played Friday. Before Sunday's game, Budenholzer said the Suns can add and grow more off-ball looks for Booker, but added Booker's teammates need to play more aggressively in terms of moving the ball and making plays. The Suns achieved both, starting with having Booker play more off the ball in that first quarter. He scored 17 of his 44 in the first quarter in various ways. They ran him off a few off-ball screens and utilized double handoff with 7-footer Jusuf Nurkić and Plumlee in the starting lineup. The Suns had much more ball movement, which led to Booker getting open looks off the move instead of through screens where the defense could trap him more easily. The Thunder executed that, but were also able to scramble and find shooters on the backside. The T-Wolves chose to play him more straight up with stud defender Jaden McDaniels. That didn't work. McDaniels dealt with foul trouble while Booker was scoring off catch and shoot and off-ball movement. Once he got it going, it didn't matter if the T-Wolves doubled him or not, he still found ways to score. Whether Rudy Gobert, Edwards, Randall, McDaniels, or whoever guarded him, didn't matter if they doubled, Booker shot over it or faded away from it to score. The points are one thing, setting the tone is something else. Booker did the latter with a force and intention he didn't display at Oklahoma City. It's the main reason Phoenix started building a strong 16-point lead in the first half. Booker not only scored, but was able to catch and drive to find guys for dunks like Oso Iguodoro and threes for Monte Morris. Booker's teammates being able to score off Booker kept the Timberwolves in limbo in terms of whether to double or stay home. Now the Suns went with Nurkić and Plumlee under the hoop. The Suns started Tyus Jones, rookie Ryan Dunn, Booker, Plumlee, and Nurkić. This was a first this season and an initial head-scratcher until the game began. Plumlee and Nurkić were involved in the screen game to free up Booker. That's number one. Two, the Suns could better contain Gobert's offensive rebounding and at least make Randall think about driving against the bigger Plumlee. The Suns could play more physical with those two. Third, this was an opportunity to stay big by having rookie Iguodaro come in for either big to play the four. Of the three, Iguodaro was the most productive on the offensive end with 11 points. His push shot gave the Suns a 110-104 advantage with under 5 minutes left. It'll be interesting to see if Budenholzer sticks to that lineup Monday against Orlando. Considering the Magic start 6'11 Goga Bitsades at center and 6'10 Franz Wagner, Budenholzer may very well go with a big lineup. The bigger question is, would he do it once Durant returns? Highly doubtful in a starting lineup, because that likely means sitting Beal, but in a rotational unit? Absolutely. And that'll put us a little bit past our halfway point in this evening's sports today. And in Monday night's contest, Booker, Phoenix Suns lose fourth straight without Durant and Beal to the Orlando Magic. Devin Booker didn't have his shooting touch, 5 of 14 field goal attempts, despite his team-high 17 points in the Phoenix Suns' 109-99 loss to the Orlando Magic on Monday. The Suns, at 9-6, dropped their fourth straight game, all without Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, both out with left calf strains. They didn't have their starting big man, Yusuf Nurkić, either, with an ankle injury against the Magic. Franz Wagner led the Magic, who are also 9-6 with 32 points and 8 assists, plus grabbed 5 rebounds in their 6th straight victory. The Magic's big, Goga Bitadze, dominated the paint as he produced 17 points, 7 of 8 field goals, and 10 boards. The Suns were in a double-digit deficit since there were 2 minutes left in the first half, but went on an 8-0 run to cut the lead to 7 for a brief rally at 3:36 left to play. But Wagner kept scoring in the closing minutes to seal the win. The Suns shot to just 29.3% from deep, the second time in the past 3 games hitting under 30%. Grayson Allen scored 17 off the bench, while Tyrus Jones added 16 for Phoenix. The Suns play the second of their 6-game homestand against the New York Knicks, who are 8-6, on Wednesday at 8 p.m. In other games around the NBA from Sunday, Indiana defeated Miami 119-110. It was Memphis 105, Denver 90. Cleveland 128 over Charlotte 114. Detroit 124, Washington 104. Portland defeated Atlanta 114-110. Houston defeated Chicago 143-107. New York defeated Brooklyn 114-104. Dallas 121, Oklahoma City 119. And the LA Clippers defeated Utah 116-105. In college basketball over the University of Arizona Wildcats men's basketball, foul trouble spells doom for Wildcats. Caleb Love's early technical paves the way to a 103-88 loss. This was from Friday night in Madison, Wisconsin. Less than 5 minutes into Arizona's 103-88 loss at Wisconsin on Friday, a pair of whistles suggested the Wildcats might already be doomed. Guard Caleb Love was called for a shooting foul trying to defend Wisconsin's John Blackwell near the basket, and then, when the two players began animately discussing the matter, Love extended his right arm for a light shove on his opponent. That was 2 fouls on Arizona's preseason All-American, more than 35 minutes left to play, and 4 ensuing Wisconsin free throws that expanded the Badgers' lead from 9-8 to 13-8. Love never really recovered, finishing with just 6 points in 25 minutes before he fouled out with 5 minutes left, and the Wildcats suffered along with him. UA did manage to fully erase what became an 18-point first-half deficit, tying the game at 65 early in the second half. But double-digit scoring efforts from Jaden Bradley at 22, Trey Townsend with 17, and KJ Lewis with 15 weren't enough as Wisconsin built back a double-digit lead late in the game. By then, Love was playing with 4 fouls and eventually fouled out for the first time since his freshman season of 2020-2021, a moment he skidded towards since that early technical. Love left the game for over 5 minutes after the technical, and while he didn't pick up another over 8 more minutes he played in the half, his normal offense wasn't there. Love shot just 1 for 5 before halftime, missing 2 three-pointers, and they missed another 4 threes after halftime. He fouled out with 4:57 left in the game, just before Wisconsin finished taking that 65-65 tie and turning it into a 15-point lead that ultimately proved to be the Badgers' winning margin. Love wound up making just 2 of 13 field goals, missing all 6 threes he tried, and fouled out with 4:57 left. Bradley said the Badgers were face-guarding Love constantly, but also said the rest of the Wildcats could have helped him out more. Love wasn't the only Wildcat in foul trouble either. Center Toby Awaka fouled out after just 20 minutes, while 3 other players had 4 fouls each, including freshman Carter Bryant, who played just 13 minutes off the bench. Wisconsin actually only committed 1 less foul than the UA at 31, but had only 1 player foul out, center Stephen Crowell, who lasted 31 minutes, and 2 others with 4 fouls each. They also shot 48.1% from the field and hit 12 of 27 three-pointers, hardly discombobulated by all that fouling. Overall, Arizona shot just 37.8% from the field and was just 4 of 23 at 17.4% from three-point range. Notably, the Wildcats also recorded assists on just 6 of their 28 field goals. It was the 4th straight Arizona loss in which Love had struggled offensively. He had 13 points in Arizona's Sweet 16 loss to Clemson last season, but was 0 for 9 from three-point range, and before that, Love had just 6 points in the Wildcats' 67-59 loss to Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament semifinal, and just 2 points with 5 turnovers in UA's 78-65 loss at USC on the final day of last year's regular season. Their next game will be Friday, November 22nd, at home against Duke. And over at ASU men's basketball, freshmen push men's basketball to win over St. Thomas. Jaden Quaintance, Joshin Sanone, and Amer Ali combined for 41 points in the 81-66 Sun Devil victory. This was in Tempe from Sunday night. Sun Devil men's basketball defeated St. Thomas in their return to Desert Financial Arena on Sunday night. Arizona State, at 4-1, continued the winning ways of Sun Devil Athletics this weekend, securing an 81-66 victory over St. Thomas, who is 3-2, in the first meeting between the two schools. A pair of second-half spurts paved the way for the Sun Devils to take the victory, as an 11-3 scoring run with 5 minutes remaining and a 9-0 scoring run coming out of the final media timeout sealed the deal. 4 Sun Devils reached double figures tonight, led by senior forward Bashir Jahid, who put up another 20-point effort while also grabbing 6 boards. Freshman forward Jaden Quaintance put together arguably his best college performance, accounting for 13 points and 14 rebounds on his way to recording his first career double-double. Fellow freshman Jason Sanon shot lights out once again, finishing with 18 points and 9 boards while nailing 3 of 5 three-pointers. Freshman guard/forward Amer Ali contributed 10 points of his own, meaning 41 of the 81 Sun Devil points came courtesy of the highly touted freshman class. Sun Devil men's basketball will be returning to Tempe and Desert Financial Arena, where they will host Cal Poly on November 20th at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And over at the U of A women's basketball team, room for improvement despite crushing win. This is by P.J. Brown of the Arizona Daily Star. It may sound funny that in Arizona women's basketball's crushing of Chicago State 84-48 on Saturday, that there were a lot of firsts. Yet for the Wildcats on a day where they out-everythinged their opponent in Chicago, there were many things done for the very first time. Arizona, at 5-0, took a 26-13 lead after the first quarter, built the lead to 52-22 at the half, and despite playing a mixture of rotations starting just 4 minutes into the game, never let up. It was a really good time to play everybody and get everybody in and get some minutes, Arizona coach Adia Barnes said. That was the intent of the trip, to play everybody, work on some things, and we definitely have to get it better. But it was good to see some people have some really good quality minutes. The Wildcats were disruptive on the defensive end, forcing 20 turnovers. In the first half, they were even more aggressive on inbound plays, where the Cougars found most of their miscues. In addition, 9 of the Wildcats' 12 steals came in the first half. As the game progressed, the Wildcats were deflecting balls even more, denying and even forcing travels one after another. This extra swarming, especially on the inbounds play, is a new wrinkle in the Arizona defense that hasn't been shown to this point. Sophomore Skylar Jones, the Chicago native, picked 3 of her 4 steals in the first half. Both of freshman Katarina Kanichevich's steals also came in that first 20 minutes. It was the first time this season that all 13 active players earned minutes on the court. There was Montea Du scoring 7 points on 3 of 6 from the field. She added 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 1 steal. Of those, she posted career highs in points, blocks, and rebounds. She played the most minutes of any Wildcat at 24. Freshman Lauren Swan backed up her breakout game against UNLV from Tuesday, scoring 19 points in the last 12 minutes of the game, with 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist in 20 minutes. Her first came in minutes and rebounds. She left the game in the third quarter and returned at the start of the fourth after banging into a teammate going after a loose ball. It was the same left shoulder that she hurt in San Diego. After the game, Barnes said, "She'll be okay." Freshman Malin Rolf grabbed 10 rebounds, the most she's collected. Junior forward Aaron Tack played for 12 minutes, scored 10 points, grabbed 1 offensive rebound, and had 1 steal, all firsts. She was aggressive, driving to the hoop, and was all over her defensive assignment. It was also the first time Brooklyn Rhodes checked into a game this season. Despite missing her 2 attempted shots, she pulled down 2 rebounds in 3 minutes of action. With all of those first, there was Brea Cunningham in the midst of it all, being steady and reliable. She led all Wildcats with 14 points, 6 of 9 from the field, adding 2 blocks, 2 steals, and 5 rebounds in only 15 minutes of action. She has scored in double digits in all 5 games of the season and is now averaging 13.4 points per game. Their next game is this coming Wednesday, November 20th, at Northern Arizona University. And over at the ASU Sun Devil women's basketball team, they played the Bryan January Classic this past weekend. Saturday, they defeated SMU 80-73, and Sunday, they defeated Oregon State 79-60. In Saturday's game, Ty Skinner had 26 points, Jalen Brown had 25 points. Both came through with marquee performances as the duo combined for 51 points in the Sun Devil women's basketball team's 80-73 win over SMU on the first day of the annual Bryan January Classic. In addition to their high point totals, both Skinner, 8 of 16 field goals, 5 of 10 three-point field goals, and Brown was 10 of 18 field goals, 3 of 7 from 3, were efficient with their opportunities as they teamed up to shoot 53%, 18 of 34 field goals from the field, including 47%, 8 of 17 from long range. Brown also led the team with 5 assists. Jaya Levette was responsible for 15 of ASU's 21 bench points, while Jazian Jackson got with a game-high 13 rebounds and a team-high 4 steals. Navia Parkinson had 12 rebounds, and Kennedy Basham had 9 rebounds, which helped ASU at 2-2 finish plus 11 on the boards 46-35. And in Sunday's game, the Sun Devils women's basketball team scored 79 points, shot 49.2%, their second highest mark of the season, connected on season high percentages at the free throw line, 88.2%, and from beyond the arc at 44.4%. And had a season-low 13 turnovers in Sunday's final game of the annual Bryan January Classic. Those were just the offensive highlights from ASU's 79-60 win over former Pac-12 foe Oregon State. Defensively, the Sun Devils recorded opponent season lows for points at 60, field goals 19, three-point goals of 3, and three-point field goal percentage 13.4. and had season highs in shot blocks with 8, turnovers forced with 19, and points scored off turnovers in 26, and would add it up to ASU's largest margin of victory this season. Ty Skinner scored 20 or more points for the third time this season. She had 21 points on 8 of 11 field goals, 4 of 4 free throws. Jalen Brown had 12 points on 5 of 8 field goals. And Kennedy Basham and Jalen Jackson had identical double-doubles, 10 points, 10 rebounds in the win. Basham also had a game-high 6 shot blocks, or twice as many as Beavers had as a team with 3. Jael Lovett nearly had her third straight game in scoring double figures with 8 points and tied with Jackson for a team lead in assists with 3 and had a game-high 3 steals. Their next games will be the Coast to Coast Music City Classic at Nashville, Tennessee. On November 26th, they will play Kentucky, and November 27th, they will play South Dakota. Now for some golf news. Campos captures first PGA Tour title in Bermuda. This from the Associated Press. Rafael Campos felt like he was living a fairy tale Sunday when he went from being on the verge of losing his PGA Tour card to winning the Bermuda Championship just 6 days after his wife gave birth to their first child in time to let him play. Campos drilled his approach to 2 feet for eagle on the par 5 seventh hole during a surge that carried him to a 3-under 68 for a 3-shot victory, joining the late Chichi Rodriguez as the only players from Puerto Rico to win on the PGA Tour. The 36-year-old Campos has never played in a major. Now he's going to the Masters. This was only his second full year on the PGA Tour. The win makes him exempt through 2026. And over in Europe, Rory McIlroy takes Dubai win, 6th title as best in Europe. This from Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Rory McIlroy ended a tumultuous year packed with emotion on and off the golf course with a pair of trophies and plenty of tears. McIlroy broke a tie with Rasmus Højgaard by hitting wedge to a foot for birdie on the 16th hole, and he closed with a 3-under 69 for a 2-shot victory Sunday in the World Tour Championship. He also captured his 6th title as Europe's number one player. And then the 35-year-old from Northern Ireland couldn't speak, choked up with emotion, as he contemplated the wins, losses, and everything else in between this year. He won 4 times, twice on the PGA Tour, and tied the late Seve Ballesteros with his 6th title in the race to Dubai, formerly the Order of Merit. 2 more and he can catch Coley Montgomery for the record. McIlroy threw away a chance at the U.S. Open by missing 2 short putts over the last 3 holes at Pinehurst No. 2, finishing 1 behind Bryson DeChambeau. He was on the verge of finally winning on home soil until Højgaard stunned him with a late charge in the Irish Open at Royal Country Down. In May, McIlroy revealed that he had filed for divorce, and equally stunning was word a month later that the divorce proceedings had been scrapped and they would try to work it out. His wife, Erica, and 4-year-old daughter, Poppy, were in Dubai cheering his latest victory. It was a lot for McIlroy, and the emotions, when it was over, bore that out. Now over to some motorsports. NASCAR has finished their season last weekend. So we have NHRA Pro Series Drag Racing, Brown Anderson win championships in the season finale, Beckman and Smith also score. Antron Brown in Top Fuel and Greg Anderson in Pro Stock won world championships and the season-ending In-N-Out Burger NHRA Finals to finish off an amazing 2024 NHRA Mission Foods Drag Racing Series season. Championship runner-ups Jack Beckman in Funny Car and Matt Smith in Pro Stock Motorcycle also won the event to close out their seasons. Jack Beckman closed out the 2024 NHRA season with a thrilling Funny Car victory on Sunday at the In-N-Out Burger Pomona Drag Strip, defeating John Force Racing teammate and world champion Austin Prock in the final round to close out the 59th annual In-N-Out Burger NHRA Finals. In the teammate versus teammate final round, Beckman went a career-best 3.812 seconds at 327.35 mile per hour in his 11,000 horsepower peak Chevrolet Camaro SS to defeat Proc and to pick up his second win of the season since taking over driving duties for John Force in August. It's been a magical ride for Beckman, a former world champion who won his 35th career race on Sunday. To get to the final round on Sunday, Beckman knocked off Terry Haddock, Blake Alexander, and Ron Capps, ensuring Proc and the Force Beckman finished first and second in the loaded funny car ranks. Top Fuel's Antron Brown qualified just 12th in his 11,000 horsepower Matco Tools Toyota Dragster, but as he's done all year, the standout was in prime form during eliminations. He knocked off Justin Ashley, who entered the weekend with the points lead, with a run of 3.696 seconds at 331.53 mile per hour in an incredible matchup to open eliminations, and then faced off with another title contender in Sean Langdon. Both drivers ran into trouble, but Brown recovered and advanced to the semifinals against Force. A spectacular season in Pro Stock came down to a thrilling winner-take-all final round, with Greg Anderson defeating KB Titan Racing teammate Dallas Glenn with a run of 6.501 at 211.13 mile per hour to slip past Glenn's run of 6.516. It hands Anderson a remarkable sixth world championship, tying him with Erica Enders and Warren Johnson for the second most in Pro Stock history. In Pro Stock Motorcycle, Matt Smith ended his year with a strong statement on his Denso Auto Parts Matt Smith Racing Buell, defeating world champion Gage Herrera in the final round with a run of 6.702 at 202.12 mile per hour. It is Smith's second win this season and the 41st in his career, enabling the six-time world champion to finish second to Herrera for the first time in his career. And they had a strange incident at the drag race on Sunday morning. A single-engine Piper plane crash-landed into the parking lot. The four people that were on board were injured, no fatalities, and nobody on the ground was injured. Fortunately, the fire department that was there for the race quickly responded. And with the time I have left, I'll run down the standings in the NFL and the NBA, starting with the NFL. In the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills are on top at 9-2, followed by the Miami Dolphins at 4-6, New York Jets and New England Patriots both at 3-8. In the AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers are on top at 8-2, followed by the Baltimore Ravens at 7-4, Cincinnati Bengals at 4-7, and the Cleveland Browns at 2-8. In the AFC South, the Houston Texans are on top at 7-4. Followed by the Indianapolis Colts at 5-6, Tennessee Titans 2-8, and Jacksonville Jaguars 2-9. In the AFC West, Kansas City is on top at 9-1, followed by the Los Angeles Chargers at 7-3, the Denver Broncos are 6-5, and the Las Vegas Raiders are 2-8. And then the NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles are on top at 8-2, followed by the Washington Commanders at 7-4, Dallas Cowboys 3-7, and New York Giants 2-8. In the NFC North, Detroit Lions are on top at 9-1, followed by Minnesota at 8-2, Green Bay is 7-3, and the Chicago Bears are 4-6. In the NFC South, Atlanta is on top at 6-5, followed by Tampa Bay at 4-6, New Orleans 4-7, and Carolina 3-7. And then in the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals are on top at 6-4, followed by the Los Angeles Rams, Seattle Seahawks, and San Francisco 49ers, all at 5-5. And in the NBA Eastern Conference Atlantic Division, Boston is on top at 11-3, followed by New York at 8-6, Brooklyn 5-9, Toronto 3-12, and Philadelphia 2-11. Southeast Conference Orlando is on top at 9-6, followed by Atlanta 7-8, Miami 6-7, Charlotte 5-8, and Washington 2-11. And in the Central Division, Cleveland is undefeated on top at 15-0, followed by Detroit 7-9, Indiana 6-8, Chicago 6-9, and Milwaukee 5-9. And in the Western Conference Southwest Division, Houston is on top at 10-5, followed by Memphis 8-6, Dallas 7-7, San Antonio 6-8, and New Orleans 4-10. Northwest Division, Oklahoma City is at 11-3 on top, followed by Denver at 7-5, Minnesota 8-6, Portland 6-8, and Utah 3-10. And in the Pacific Division, Golden State is on top at 10-3, followed by the LA Lakers 9-4, Phoenix Suns 9-6, and the LA Clippers and Sacramento Kings are both 8-7. And with a minute left, I'll do the NHL hockey. In the Eastern Conference Atlantic Division, Florida is at 12-5-1, Toronto 11-6-2, Tampa Bay 9-6-1, Boston 8-9-3, Ottawa 8-8-1, Buffalo 8-9-1, Detroit 7-9-2, Montreal 7-10-2, Metro Division, Washington is at 13-4-1, Carolina 13-4-0, New Jersey 12-7-2, New York Rangers 11-4-1, New York Islanders 7-7-4, Philadelphia 8-9-2, Pittsburgh 7-10-3, and Columbus 7-9-2. And in the Western Conference Central, Winnipeg is 15-3-0, Minnesota 11-3-3, Dallas 11-6-0, Colorado 10-9-0, Utah 7-8-3, St. Louis 8-10-1, Nashville 6-10-3, and Chicago 6-11-1. In Pacific, Vegas is on top, 11-5-2, Los Angeles 10-6-3, Vancouver 9-5-3, Calgary 9-6-3, Edmonton 9-8-2, Seattle 9-9-1, Anaheim 7-8-2, and San Jose 6-10-4. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. I'm Russ Werner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left-click on On Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.